Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated. Our text for today is from the Gospel, just read from St. Matthew chapter 8, as well as the story of Naaman the Syrian from 2 Kings chapter 5. We have here in our two readings the story of two men, Naaman and the centurion. There's a lot that is similar between these two men. They're both Gentiles. They're both in the military. They're both officers in charge of many men. They're both very used to being in charge, having things done their way and no other way. And they both face a problem that is completely outside their control. Naaman has leprosy. The centurion has a servant who is dying. Imagine what it must have been like for these two men. These are men used to getting things done. They are used to giving orders. As the centurion put it, I say to one man, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to another, do this, and he does it. They are used to getting things their way. And yet, here they sit, out of control. They're unable to solve the problems before them. And these aren't just your sort of run-of-the-mill problems. These are life and death problems. These are problems that they face because they are unable to get out of these messes on their own. Have you been there? Have you ever had a stage in your life when things were sailing along and you feel like you have everything under control? Then something happens. Death, unforeseen debt, family, marital problems, worse. These things can sneak up on you in a way that, frankly, is deeply disconcerting. They can slap you right in the face and say to you, all of your control is an illusion. That is really the law, or I guess we could say the result of our fall into sin hitting us. In this fallen world, things just don't work the way that they're supposed to. They don't. And no amount of positive attitude or visioning or even good old plain hard work can change that reality. You are not in control of your life. At least not nearly as much as you think or wish that you were. Well, that's what these two men, Naaman and the centurion, faced. But their reactions are completely different. How are they different? One of them reacts in faith to the healing word of God. The other acts in unbelief toward how God works in the world. For Naaman, it drove him bananas to think that God could use water from the dirty, smelly Jordan River to wash away his leprosy and make him clean. God can't work that way. Is that the best God can do? Really? He just can't. Why not water from our own rivers in Syria? Well, God hadn't promised to cleanse him of leprosy from those rivers. He promised through Elisha to cleanse Naaman of leprosy using the waters of the Jordan River and no other. That is the promise of God. Take it or leave it. And initially, Naaman left it. He rejected God's word of healing. His own pride just couldn't handle the truth of the word of God given by Elisha to him. But after careful teaching and patient begging on the part of his own slaves, Naaman relented and was led to the Jordan. And lo and behold, he was made clean, his skin as new as a brand new baby's. It took Naaman a while to get there, but by the patience and persistence of the Word of God, he came to trust in the Word of God given in the water. Didn't make sense. It was just ordinary water. But because God's promise was tied to it, it was no longer water only, but a life-giving water full of grace and every blessing by God. Now, for our centurion, he got there quite a bit faster than Naaman. He recognized, first of all, his inability to help his servant. But even more than that, he recognized that there was another one who could heal his servant, namely our Lord Jesus. Even though the centurion, in the eyes of the world, should have been in a much better position to help his sick servant, he knew that Jesus was the one who could heal diseases, for he is God in the flesh. In simple terms, the centurion had faith. He trusted that when Jesus would say the word, it would be enough. Servant would be healed. Faith trusts in the word of God and whatever that word claims. The power of faith doesn't lie in the one believing, but in where you place your trust. If you were to trust in the goodness and righteousness of the president, your pastor, your family, whoever it may be, no amount of faith on your part would make that trust hold absolutely rock solid true. You can hope for everything that you want, but it won't happen. On the other hand, if your faith points to Jesus Christ, then you will never be disappointed. This is what St. Paul is talking about in our epistle when he quotes Hosea, who says, "The just shall live by faith." Living by faith means continually putting your trust in the right place. Jesus Christ, the righteous one who forgives your sins. Only God can give you the faith of the centurion. Only God can bring that about, for clearly it is not in you or me to have that kind of faith. God does bring it about. He gives you faith by His Word and Spirit. What looks like ordinary water is, in fact, the very water of life because of God's Word and command. What looks like simple bread and wine is, in fact, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And what sounds like simple words, "I forgive you," are, in fact, the very words by which God forgives your sins, creates and sustains life. We each face trials and challenges every day to the faith. You can look at your checkbook and be tempted to believe that God will not provide for you. You worry and stress about your job, your family, your friends. Even church can sometimes be a source of tension or unbelief. But God says to you this day and every day, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's His promise, pure and simple. In many ways, that's really what the season of Epiphany is all about. When Jesus took on our flesh and blood, He entered into our lives in a way that no pagan good or good luck program ever could. He entered into your life for good, by holy baptism. You are His child, a part of His family. That is true and will never change. Believe it. Believe it, for that is what God's Word promises to you. "He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" That is the power of the gospel, which St. Paul tells us about so beautifully. That is the power of your salvation through his word and spirit alone. Speak the word, Lord, and my soul shall be healed. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.